the toxic drug crisis, and the fatalities keep on coming. 2,511 people in British Columbia died last year from toxic drugs. It's the highest number of drug deaths ever recorded in this province. BC's Chief Coroner Lisa Lapointe spoke to media yesterday. Her last official announcement, she prepares to leave that role. She put the blame for this crisis at the government's feet again yesterday. Jennifer Whiteside is the BC Minister of Mental Health and Addictions and is with us this morning. Minister, good morning.
Good morning.
The coroner says this comes down to a lack of political courage. What do you make of that?
Well, first, just let me say that I think our chief coroner has really served British Columbia well over the course of her career. She's had a long and distinguished career as a public servant, and she's overseen some of the most challenging times we've been through as a province. And I really thank her for her work and her guidance and advice, and I really wish her all the best. I can't imagine the role that she's played and all of the grief and that she has dealt with throughout the course of the development of the toxic drug crisis. Of course, that's something that has a profound effect on communities, particularly in the north, where we have some, you know, very challenging situations in parts of the north. So we know that there is much more to do, but we are working hard to ensure that the services and that the care that British Columbians need who are struggling with addiction are there for them when they need it, all across the continuum. Our goal is to keep people alive so that we can connect them to the care and support that they need.
You say there's more to do. You say you're working hard, but that's not what she said. She says that it comes down to a lack of political courage. Why does your government, from the perspective of the chief coroner, not have the political courage to tackle this problem properly?
Well, we've done things in British Columbia that no other jurisdiction has done. We stood up in the midst of in the early days of COVID, a program to provide people who use drugs with access to pharmaceutical alternatives in order to keep them alive and keep them connected to a safer supply than the illicit street drug supply. And that is a program that has been expanded, and that we've just had a study now published in the British Medical Journal that speaks to the outcomes of that approach. And that's very helpful for us in terms of being able to work with doctors, with nurses, with our healthcare system, with respect to how can we provide more access to that program? How can we work with the healthcare system and support doctors in the work that they're doing with people that they're caring for in order to provide more options for folks through that program? We've stood up hundreds and hundreds of treatment beds since over the last few years, and we're working very closely both with communities who are affected in the north. I think about the work that we're doing with First Nations in the western part of the north to develop approaches to treatment that are informed by the needs of Indigenous communities, by First Nations communities, working with the health authority, with the First Nations health authority, to ensure that we've got the pathways to care that people are needing.
You know, I'm pretty familiar, and I think our listeners are pretty familiar with the Talking Points memo that you're reading from this morning. We've all heard this for 9 years. Why isn't it working?
Well, it isn't working because, I would say that it is, we're in a situation where the toxic drug supply is becoming increasingly toxic, increasingly contaminated. It is presenting much greater challenges to frontline health providers, to law enforcement, who are working to separate people from predatory drug dealers. So all of those are profound challenges. I mean, the thing about the situation that we're in with this particular crisis is it's not like we're dealing with an orthopedic, surgery. You break an arm, you go to ER, and you get your bone set. The sources of the challenge that people who are dealing with addictions are, come from a variety of places, whether it's chronic pain or trauma. We have to be working across so many different places in order to address that. It's about housing. It's about access to healthcare. It's about access to, employment supports. So it is a much more complex crisis than much of what we see in our healthcare system.
Sure.
And, you know, that is, you know, if we weren't working on all of the elements of harm reduction we are in terms of providing, you know, safer places for people who use drugs to use them safely, providing access to, say, to pharmaceutical alternatives, providing access to beds, you know, the numbers would be worse than they are.
But the coroner understands that, but that complexity, and British Columbians increasingly understand that complexity. And so what do you think she means by political courage?
Well, I mean, I I'm very, very grateful for the advice that the coroner has provided in terms of, you know, how we need to invest in scaling up access to pharmaceutical alternatives like our opioid agonist therapy, which, you know, is now in every health authority we have access to. Folks have access to virtual services, and that to me really is the key, is ensuring that we are treating this crisis as the healthcare crisis that it is. It's why our decriminalization pilot is so important. It's why providing safer supply is so important, why the harm reduction is so important, because we need to build those pathways to healthcare for people.
But why can't you scale this, right?
Missing.
Hasn't this been scaled up? I mean, if there are 2,500 people dying of car accidents or of some other public health problem, you have to imagine that the government would scale pilot projects up very quickly to assist that. In this case, we just see the pilot projects like tick along, and yes, there are, you know, successes here and there, but again, it's, you know, 2,500 people dying in a year is not a great success. No?
Yeah.
So why can't you scale it is the question.
Well, we rely in doing this work on working with healthcare providers, with doctors, with nurses, with housing. We work across a whole number of different areas in order to provide people with the supports that they need. I think when it comes to, you know, the suggestion that the government should take over the illicit drug supply, I think that's not the direction we're moving in. We've seen on the ground what has, you know, solid evidence behind it in terms of pharmaceutical alternatives, and those are the programs that we're moving to scale up. We have, you know, some really very helpful data now with respect to those programs, and are working very closely on the ground with community partners, with First Nations, with our health system in order to do that. But there is no question that the volatility and the toxicity of the drug supply is a challenge for our whole, for our health system, for law enforcement. It is one of the most complex challenges that we have.
Do you think you, as minister, possess the courage that the coroner is seeking?
I think that this really is about the work that is done across all of our communities and across all of the different elements of government that are involved in this crisis, in order to transform our whole system to be able to better support people who use drugs and people who are struggling with addiction. And that's the work that we're in the midst of across government and across communities right now.
And we'll look forward to those numbers coming down, hopefully. Minister, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Jennifer Whiteside is BC's Minister for Mental Health and Addictions. We would love to know what you think of what you've heard. 1-888-662-6628. You can email us, daybreakkelowna@cbc.ca. You're listening to us in Prince George at 91.5 FM.